Welcome to Another Mother Podcast, a safe place for stepmoms to unravel the blended chaos and share lessons learned, the good, the bad, and the high conflict.
We're your hosts, Dana.
And Amanda.
Just a couple of stepmoms who have struggled to find their role. Now let's grab a drink and talk some shit.
So, we tried to come up with a positive because, I mean, we try to do that with every episode. Quite frankly, we came up with nothing.
No. And I mean, everything's fine. Everyone's fine. Everyone's healthy and mostly happy, but it's funny, Amanda and I usually have a talk, you know, prior to recording, and we're both completely flustered with just upcoming September, and I don't think we're alone in that. Hey.
No, and I think, I mean, a lot of moms, especially during the last year and a half, can relate to juggling everything while working from home and doing a million things with two hands.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know. So I guess it depends on where everybody's from and, you know, what their schools expect from you. But for my bonus daughter, she is starting at a new school. She's going into middle school. And, so they had emailed out a list to the parents on the supply list. Obviously, they can only email so many people. As a step parent, I am not on that list, which I'm not going to lie, just sucks. Because, like, my spouse is not the organized one, and he's not one to, like, look at emails and, like, directly, like, respond or, like, organize whatever needs to be done. And so it came out midsummer and we hadn't looked at it. So I encouraged him last week to look at it. And so the list is huge. And I was like, holy shit, we really need to get on this. So when my bonus daughter's mom came to get her on Monday, we had just said, hey, like, you have the list too. Like, what do you have so far? And she was like, nothing. And we were like, fuck. Okay. So, and they're gone all week. So, of course, I get flustered immediately. I literally went out like an hour later and bought everything. But I had suggested, you know, maybe just like cutting the list in half and like she, you know, their household can do half and we can do the other half. Like, I don't care about price, just more or less just it's half and half, right? And, you know, he made a good point. He's like, you know, we could do that, but there's a really good chance based on past experiences that she just doesn't get it done. And then, you know, our daughter goes without. So, you know, I think that's just one of the many things that's frustrating with back to school as a blended family, I think. That, and she comes back on Monday and then starts school on Wednesday. And we haven't done our back to school, like clothes shopping. She hasn't gone for a haircut. So I'm like, already kind of feeling flustered about just getting everything done, because I just, every year since she's been in grade one, that's pretty much been my duty. So I know it's going to fall on me, and I'm just feeling like I'm running out of time, I guess. I guess I should.
But at the same time, like, you're also preparing for homeschooling. So it's like twice the work preparing for homeschooling and back to school, public school.
But you know what? Like, I find preparing for homeschooling like soothing.
Okay, I mean, I'm in the same situation, and like, I've had a lot of fun preparing like the boys' binders and printing colorful things out and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because you're like in control, whereas I don't feel in control with public school in general, let alone like she's starting a new school. You know, she's basically at the bottom of the totem pole as far as like, you know, she was, you know, you go from kindergarten to grade six and you're high up at the end, and now she's starting at the bottom, and it's like I'm feeling a little bit nervous for her and nervous for us, and I'm afraid we're not going to be totally prepared. Like, even on the supply list it says like the number, like the code of which product you're supposed to get. It's like, what in the actual fuck do you mean? Like, I've never even looked at that number on anything before. But anyway, I found everything.
It's overcomplicated.
It is overcomplicated, and I don't know. I just, with
it
everything,
just like lined notebook. It says like 32-page Hilroy notebook.
Right. Product
number.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Like,
do you guys have to do that? As long as you can
write on it.
Do you guys have to do that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Her list wasn't, like, we do it every year.
Okay.
Her list isn't, like, super, super long. This year, she has, like, extra folders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I typically count on her mom being useless.
Yeah.
So, like, honestly, like, if I pop into Walmart to grab stuff and I'm, like, near the crayons, I grab crayons. And then the next time I go in, if I, like, see paper, I grab paper. Like, I just don't go out of my way all summer to do it, really. But it does add up.
It does. And, again, it's, like, I don't mind doing it, but it's just the fact that I can't help but be like, this would be so much easier and cost effective if we just kind of split it up and
together.
It was just,
well, yeah. And it's frustrating being the person that like has to pick up the pieces because everyone else is too busy to parent their own damn kids.
Right. And also, what is the difference between a Hilroy Duotang and a regular Duotang from the dollar store?
Yeah.
I and like, honestly,
if she had bought school supplies already and then you went out and bought them, like, now you'd be overstepping your boundaries.
Yeah. So. No, and I would never do that because, like, fuck that. My money is precious. But I don't know. It's just all fucked up. And I don't think if she was changing schools, I'd be as flustered, but I feel like really flustered this time for some reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, and no one else seems to be flustered. So maybe it's just a me problem.
Why aren't we all panicking?
I run around like the ducks, like an idiot. But anyway, I just thought, I don't know. I find it stressful when it comes to like back to school stuff between blended families. I always have, like, even when she was growing up, it was like, do we all go the first day?
Yeah.
And we would when she was a lot younger, of course. Now, obviously not, but when she was younger, we would. And then one time it was like, my husband couldn't go. So he was like, could you go? And I was like, yeah, of course I'll go. And then I went and like her mom, like wouldn't even let her come near me. So I was just literally at the school randomly and like no one else talked to me. And like my stepdaughter wasn't even allowed to talk to me. So I was like,
like your stepdaughter, that's such a terrible position to be in.
Yeah.
Especially on her first day of school. Like, what if she grows up and, like, those are the negative memories that, those are the, like, things that stuck out to her?
I'm sure it will. I mean, she blocks out a lot, too, but there's just some things you just can't block out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there's so many, but, anyway, gonna try and stay positive. She's ready. I just have a lot of shit to do when she comes back on Monday before Wednesday, so.
We're all okay. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just drinks more and it'll be fine.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Today we want to talk about nature versus nurture. Dana and I both really think that this is interesting, especially as far as a blended family.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And, you know, I've always heard people, you know, throw that out there and in the midst of a conversation, but I think more than I realize, we discuss this in our house actually quite a bit. I don't know if you guys do too, but we're always kind of like, where the hell did they get that from? Or, you know, like, is this something that they've been, that has been learned, or is it just something that just comes naturally, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know, nature versus nurture is just kind of like a theory of how your personality, I guess, is made up. So nature refers to the biological / genetic predispositions impact on human traits.
Yeah. And nurture describes the influence of learning and other influences from one's environment. Which is like, I know it's kind of like a theory and I don't think there's any right or wrong answer, but like, what do you kind of gear more towards, Amanda?
So honestly, a saying that I have said for years is, it's nature versus nurture and nature is kicking our ass.
That's a good one.
So I do think that our blended kids have a lot more external factors as far as like the nature side. The nurture side, but as far as like nature and their genetics, for those of us that have had to communicate or co-parent with somebody that we just like genuinely don't like as people, it's hard to parent somebody who has a lot of the same personality traits sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree there. Like there are some times where I'm like, oh my gosh, here I am parenting this little girl. Well, she's not little, but she's still a little girl to me. And it's like, no wonder we bash heads. Like I bash heads with her mom all the time. So it's like, of course we are going to bash heads. Like there's just some things you can't like nurture. You know what I mean? Like there's just some things where she's like, you know, she's just a lot like her mom and we just have to like love her through that. And also just like, she can't help the fact that that's, you know, she gets those traits from her. And, you know, we just try to communicate as much as possible without like overdoing it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
The first time I met or was in the same area as my bonus daughter's mom, I think it was when we were in court, and her just like attitude is very negative and snotty. And I just remember she just like gave me a dirty look or something. And my stepdaughter at the time was like 5 and had like some good attitude on her. And I just remember like feeling like the puzzle pieces kind of came together.
Yeah, like that's where it's from, man. Like,
we're not gonna be able to parent that out of her. It's there.
No. And it's such a conflict too. Cause like on a regular basis, I'm like, is it her parent? Is it hormones? Or is that just who she is? Like, I'm not really sure. Or is that just something she's like learned, you know, over time? Like, I can't speak because I don't really know exactly what their household is like, or like, I don't even know what her mom is actually like besides like kind of just like nasty to me. So it's hard because I can't speak for like the good stuff. I don't really know what comes from her mom's side of the family. I mean, I can definitely peg some things from like her dad's side of the family because I know them, right? Like I can peg where that comes from. Like they're very, you know, my spouse's side of the family is very matter of fact. You know, there's no time to like discuss feelings. It's very just like, oh, you have a kitty. I feel like we should acknowledge that you have a cat now.
Yeah, stay tuned on our Instagram. Now we have dogs, ducks, and a kitty.
Yeah. It's going to be like a duck kitty, like insanity. We should probably just have a separate page for that.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a little baby ragdoll kitty. She's my husband's new baby, so it'll curb his baby fever for a while, hopefully.
Yeah, he'll leave you alone for a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, so cute. And sorry, is it a boy or a girl?
She's a girl. Her name is Piper.
Piper.
She's very sweet, and she likes to sleep a lot.
Oh, and she's going to be podcasting with us from now on, I hope.
Yeah, I'm not wearing a bra, neither is Dana, because we just are a shit show tonight, but typically she likes to sit in my bra and just pass out, so.
Thanks for letting everyone know. I'm pretty sure anyone who's listening is probably not wearing one either, so.
Cheers. Yeah, so welcome to the club.
Any hoozy wuddy.
So, I do also feel like our kids in this generation have just, like, so, are overstimulated with like those external factories because they have internet and all these stupid fucking apps and
yeah,
like aren't just playing outside at the park talking to the 8 kids they go to school with.
Do you feel like, though, speaking of generations, do you feel like our generation maybe overanalyzes shit? Like, I feel like our parents' generation was just like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. Moving on. Whereas like, we're like, why are they doing this?
Yeah, we totally
is it nature versus nature? Like, I'm always looking into the why instead of just like accepting or, you know, curbing whatever needs to be curbed. But
yeah,
I do find that quite funny, though.
We're a little too self-aware.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good thing in a lot of ways, but in some ways it's just like I've had to catch myself and be like, maybe it just is what it fucking is and move on, Dana. How about that?
Yeah,
I don't know,
your brain is literally just too tired sometimes.
Or I just can't why, like, I don't know. I have to question everything, and that's probably a blessing and a curse, but.
I hope those meows are on our
episode. Hello, they're so cute.
So do you want to tell us about your study that you read up on?
Well, there was a few that I definitely read up on. One, just to, like, I don't know, narrow it down, was they did, I'll have to find the article and maybe link it in when this comes out, but so that I can properly give them the credit they deserve. But they did, like, a study on rats. And they had, like, I know you, like, twitched there for a second, but it's going to be okay. So they did a study on rats, and they, I think they did it over, like, a year or something like that. And there was one rat mom who, like, always licked her babies. So always gave them affection, was always cuddling them, was always, like, giving them, you know, physical love. And then there was another rat mom who was just like, fuck this, you guys are on your own, and, like, didn't really do a whole lot of that. Like,
every now
and
then. I didn't eat you.
What's that?
You're lucky I didn't eat you.
Yeah, I need to eat you now. So they did that, and then they noticed in the future, at the end of the study, that the rats that were licked a lot were less, way less stressed out animals than the ones that weren't licked quite a bit. Which I did find really funny too, because, like, I always kind of relate things a little back to my childhood too, where I am just somebody who really loves to, like, have my back tickled. I just want, like, to lay on the couch and just, like, tickle my back and, like, just touch my back. And I never really thought about it until, like, last year, but I was like, that was, like, the one thing that my mom did to, like, show me that she really loved me.
It's funny because my husband says the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that's, like, so something crazy that you guys share, like, literally the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just like, I love it so much. And I never really thought of why. But yeah, it's just like, that was the one way she showed me that she loved me. And, like, I just feel, like, loved when, like, my spouse does that to me. And I, you know, I just find myself doing that with my kids too, but, like, we didn't get a whole lot of, like, physical affection as kids. I'm sure we did when we were babies and toddlers. Like, my mom is very much a person that, like, really loves them when they, like, absolutely needed her. But as we got older, she doesn't know what to do with us. So we didn't get that type of affection from my memory. And from my sister's memory. we're very, like, I'm trying to, like, curb that. Cause I've been a stressed individual from the time I was, like, well, from when I was a kid up until, like still, I still am. I'm a stressed individual. I always have stress in my life. I'm pretty sure we all do, but, like, I think comparing to, like, friends of mine and, you know, other families, I'm like, I feel like I have way more. And I think it just attracts me because, and maybe that's why. After reading that study, I'm like, well, maybe that's why, because there wasn't a whole lot of that affection there. You know what I mean?
It's interesting because my mom was pretty similar as well. Like, I genuinely don't remember the last time I hugged her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was probably 7 or 8.
Just want to hug.
But it's interesting because you and I are so similar, just in the sense that, like, we make sure that we're busy, you know, and, like, for those that don't know, like, we both have multiple businesses and side things that we do. We podcast, we're both homeschooling, we both have a child in public school. Yeah. Like, there's just a lot going on, but I also can't help but wonder if our bodies are, like, we're just so used to being in that chaotic state that we almost, like, create it for ourselves.
It is true. It's true. I should find that study too and send it to you. I did read one a little while ago that, yeah, when you have childhood trauma, that is what you end up doing. Not everybody, but a lot of people end up doing that are, like, you know, trying to create a different path, is, like, we just create our own chaos. It's positive chaos, but it's chaos.
Yeah.
As a way to just, like, kind of keep things as they were when you were a child. And it's like, holy fuck, I'm such a case.
Right?
I am such a case. I talked to my friend. You know what? We should almost have my friend Kendall on. Hey, Kendall. I know you're listening. But she's like really dove into like childhood trauma. She listens to podcasts. She's, you know, talks with therapists. She really like documentaries, like you name it. She's like super, just super into like learning about it. Cause she's, you know, has a past as well. And, on our last trip, we took going into the mountains. Like she literally just like schooled the shit out of me on like why I am the way that I am and why she is the way she is. And I'm just like, holy shit, eh? Like,
it's so eye-opening.
And then it scares the shit out of you because you're like, now am I screwing up my kids in some way? Like, probably, but hopefully not as much.
It's like that video that I showed you from, is it the Diary of the Honest Mom? We'll have to tag her.
Oh, I love her. I love her.
But she did a really great video. Just like thoughts that you have when you were raised by a narcissistic parent trying mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. parent in a different path.
Mm-hmm.
But I sent, or we talked about that another day, but I do think it's really relevant.
I do think so too. And, you know, I think being more self-aware, as much as it's like maybe a little bit scary, but the more self-aware I get, the more I'm like, okay, like there are things I know as a mother that I like could improve on. So trying to do that, but it is so crazy because I do have those traits that are just in me that I don't think I realized were there. And then one day I was just like, holy shit, I can't believe I said that, or I can't believe I just did that, or like, why am I so focused on like cleaning when like my kids are wanting me to like snuggle and watch something with them on the couch? Like,
yeah.
And that's how my mom was, right? Like, she was very much like order needed to happen, and order was never accomplished. So therefore we never got that time, right? Yeah.
It's such a hard balance.
It is. And it's good to at least be aware of it so you can like fix it. Whereas like, I feel like our parents' generation maybe weren't aware.
No, they were a lot more like, well, the baby book said that we have to do this. So this is what we're doing. And if you do it the other way, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And things need to be in order, right? Like my mom comes from a family of, you know, she has 11 other siblings. So like, it was probably pretty chaotic, but at the same time, I don't think there was a whole lot of play or snuggles on the couch. You know what I mean? Like there was always something that needed to be done and everyone needed to be a part of that and help in some way. Right. And that's how she, you know, she only had two children, but that's how she parented us too, even though, you know, you probably could have calmed your shit down a little bit more. There's only two of us.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, that's totally fair.
Yeah.
So which do you feel like plays a bigger factor for your kids?
Well, there was a quote that I liked from one of the researchers, and they said, and I actually wholeheartedly agree with this because I was like, oh, I'm like looking through some of the stuff and I'm hemming and hawing and I'm like, I don't know what I feel, because when I look at my bonus daughter, I'm like, you know, there's just some things, but also that she just can't help. But there's also just some things that I know she's like, I not even to toot my own horn. I just know she gets a lot of stuff from me. She's been around me on a pretty regular basis for, going on 9 years now. And there's some things that I think that I'm like, if I wasn't around and maybe it was somebody else, like I can't help but think she'd be a different kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm the one who kind of introduced her to horses. I have a friend who owns a farm and she's got a ton of horses. And so that's where she found her love and, you know, horseback riding and this and that. And, you know, she likes to be organized now. It's not great, but it's getting there. But she likes that because I taught her how to do that over many, many years of just like how nice that feels to be organized and you sleep better. And she's like, I do sleep better knowing my room is the way, you know, I want it. And yeah, I just can't help but think. But anyway, going back to the quote, it says, genes matter, but the house must be built on love. Even if we concede that DNA accounts for 70% of our character traits, the remaining 30% can make 100% of the difference. And I just feel like that is so true, because there's just so much of both of my kids that are just like their DNA, but I feel like there's that little tiny amount that just is like, it just comes from our household. It just comes from the environment, the people that we surround them with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And like, I think it was interesting for us just in the sense that like, I met my stepdaughter when she was 3.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of us met her bio mom until she was 5. So I think that for me, it was like, I had no idea what parts of her she got from her mom and what parts were just like her.
Mm-hmm.
And as she gets older, she does change, but like, she is, like you said, like she spent so much time around me
mm-hmm.
that she does pick up things from us too. And it's just like really interesting to watch.
It is really interesting. And it'll be even more interesting, I feel like, for you guys to see. Oh my God. Like, I know you have so much on your plate, but I almost hope you have like a little journal that you write in so you can be like, hey, this is where we were at this time, this year, this month. And then be like, maybe compare and see where she's at like next year even. Cause like, now that she's with you guys full time, I can see environment like really taking over for her.
Yeah, I should do that. And then we can touch on this again, like a year from now.
Well, yeah. And then it's just even good for like you and your hubby there. Like, be like, okay, whoa. And I almost feel like I should maybe do that when I think about it. Cause it's, I think sometimes we're so focused on like, what the hell is wrong with them? Like, what is going on? That's like, oh, we didn't like celebrate that little tiny accomplishment there, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
remember when this was our biggest stressor. Now we don't even talk about it.
Right. Like, we had friends from out of town come on the weekend, and they have a little boy that's closer to my son's age who, like, they get along really well. And then, obviously, my bonus daughter's, like, 12, so they're, like, 7 and 8, so there's a gap there, major. And I was, like, thoroughly impressed with my bonus daughter's behavior, because usually she would just be like, oh, okay, well, they'll just play, and like, I'm gonna sit around and listen to all the adult talk and just like linger and look at you and like, you know what I mean, and just exist, I guess, around the adults, when, you know, sometimes you just want to have adult conversation. But she did really well. She like managed to hang out with the boys for a little bit. I think they played like a bit of Lego, and then I think they did like Just Dance on the Switch or whatever. And then, you know, obviously that was enough time for her, so she came up, she chatted with us for a little bit, she went up to her room, she read, because she's like super into Harry Potter right now. And then, you know, she grabbed something to eat, she came out, she talked to us for a little bit, she played with the boys, jumped on the trampoline, went back upstairs and read. And it was like, there was no like, if this was a year ago, she would just be like
awkwardly lingering,
awkwardly in our face, because she like wants the attention to be on her, but like doesn't know how to go about it, right? And so this, like, I had to tell her after, you know, our company had left, I was like, I'm like really impressed with you. And she's like, for what? I was like, just like how you behaved and how you like, you know, gave your time to each individual person. I thought that was really smart, and it like seemed really nice for you, and it was good for us, and we just want to say thanks. And she was like, oh, okay. So like, sometimes I feel like I thought that in my head, and I didn't really say it out loud until later. And I was telling my spouse, and he's like, you should tell her that. And I was like, yeah, maybe I should.
Yeah. It was probably nice for her to hear too.
It was, I think she really enjoyed that. But, I was like, oh, we're not, she's not like awkwardly 12 trying to sit on my lap. Like, she the last couple of years, I'm like, what is going on? Like,
even when I visited you, the one day she did kind of do it, and she's like real close up in your face, and we've kind of talked about it. And obviously, like, when we're venting, sometimes we exaggerate. So I was kind of expecting her to be like all up in your face, but like not like that. So this morning, I was babysitting one of my friend's kids while she was sleeping for a night shift, and she's two, so she wiped yogurt all over my couch real quick. Mm-hmm. So I wiped the one cushion down. It was a little bit wet, so I sat on the other side. My stepdaughter sat down and, like, jumped right back up and went around to the other couch, and I was like, I think I just found a parenting hack of how to get alone time.
Oh, shit. That's a wet cushion. Just wipe it down real, real sloppily.
Just going to keep a spray bottle beside the couch and spray every cushion I'm not sitting on.
Well, and see, that is, okay, so do you think maybe because, like, you didn't get a whole lot of affection like that as a kid, like, is it awkward for you to have that?
Oh, 100%.
Same.
Especially because she is awkward about it. And, like, I mean, I just, my kids are also, like, the boys are really close together. And so I definitely, there was a few year period where I was just touched out. Even with my husband, I was just like, get the fuck. Like,
yeah, no, I get it.
Alone. Everybody leave me alone. 100%.
Do not touch me.
Yeah. So it's not just a her thing, but yeah, I wasn't like, I had a lot of personal space as a kid. So as an adult, like I really, like I have to be into it. And sometimes I really have to force myself to do it. And I'll just tell myself like, they just need this for like a, even if it's 5 minutes or whatever. And then, but I do have to actively push myself to do it. And I feel like that is unfortunate.
I'm the same way. I can totally relate to that. And I'm so happy to talk with that subject with you, because it's like I feel really bad. I do have to talk myself into like, okay, I need to like snuggle, and I need to maybe hug more. And like I feel like we hug a lot, but I'm not someone who sits still and will snuggle. Yeah, I'm just not. Like even with my spouse, it's like we snuggle going to bed, you know what I mean? Like we'll snuggle on the couch a little bit here and there, but like by the end of the night I'm just kind of like, okay, whew, I just don't want to be touched or talked to just for a little while. You know, and I think that's probably most moms, but I feel like more often than not, I'm like prioritizing like housework or like job things over affection.
Yeah, I mean, I relate to that 100%. And I'm sure there's even times where I use other things as an excuse just to kind of get a little bit of space to myself. Mm-hmm. But
the laundry room.
Yeah.
That's like where I go to hide. I'm like, I must have laundry to do.
There's always laundry to do.
There's always. It's never a lie. I do.
Nobody will ever question you going to the laundry room and spending 10 minutes there.
No. And my laundry room's small, but it's like, but it is a tiny space that I can.
Yeah, pro tip, keep a container in your laundry room with snacks.
Right. Incense are going, Enya's on, it's going to be lovely. Yeah, I know, and I do feel that way maybe more, because I feel like my bonus daughter, like, needs that, and since I'm, like, the primary person home, it's like, shit, that's on me, eh? Yeah.
I know, but then I feel like I'm almost caught in like a circle where sometimes I'm resentful that I have to have that extra like mental load on my plate or like responsibility on my plate because someone else couldn't handle their own responsibility.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There's definitely times where I'm like, I know she needs it and I'm having a hard time already like keeping up with everything. And I'm just like, well, it'd be super fucking cool if someone else could also parent.
Yeah, I'm glad it's just, I feel like women in general have like a million different like hats and we're just like trying to do our best and maybe we should, you know, we shouldn't have that many, but I feel like we take it on because if we ask for help, I don't know about you, but I'm terrible at asking for help because I'm like, I fucking got this.
Well, and like those of us with like not really good parents were like, even the times you feel like you could ask for help, you're like, all right, now who do I ask?
Yeah, I have nobody, so I guess that's on me. I guess I'll Google it.
Yeah.
I mean, Google
Siri,
wasn't...
what do I do now?
Yeah, no, Google, I don't think I Googled shit when I was, like, young and on my own. So I really don't know how I made it. I probably didn't do anything right, but...
Join us on trial and error.
Like I've just been doing it on my own from such a young age that it's like I feel like a big fat failure if I was to like ask for help when really that's like the smart thing to do. So like even my spouse is like, you need to ask. Like I cannot read. Now that being said, there are some things that are like obviously. Obviously that needs to get done. And I feel like you just want me to ask so that you feel good about
me. You feel like, you remember that thing I asked you to do? I did it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I'm working on also communication because I think it in my head. That's like, you know, it's like somebody texting me. Like I will respond in my head. I'm not fucking texting you back though.
Yeah. I feel like I also just like, my dad was great, but my mom was like pretty toxic just in the sense that you never knew who you were getting. And it was like, you could ask her a question and be fine. And 10 minutes later, she'd be like snapping on you.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm very careful with my choice of words and things. So I overthink even just asking my husband for help. Like, instead of just being like, hey babe, garbage needs to go out. I'm like, hey, I don't mean to nag you. I know you worked a really long day. When you have time. And then he doesn't do it. And I'm like,
So you like ask him and talk to him as if like a therapist was like directing you, because that's literally
but, like make it thing. Too nice. And then it's just kind of like in passing. And I don't know. I just like create my own problem.
Yeah.
It's so not that he doesn't want to help, because he will help if I ask. Mm-hmm. I just am like, I don't know. I overcomplicated, I think.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, I'm queen of overcomplicating fucking everything, like my life in general. So I can sympathize with that. And I'm always like, why am I so tired? And it's like, because you put too much on your fucking plate.
Yeah.
That's why.
I just feel guilty asking for help, or like I should be able to do it, or I don't know. It is also hard because like our spouses work. Like they do work hard jobs and
long hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So finding that balance is definitely hard.
So it's almost like, so for me anyway, and I'm assuming you, whether it's nature or nurture, we were fucked.
Oh, yeah.
So 100%. I'm like trying to find my own environment.
As I lived with my dad from the time I was 8 until I was like almost 17. Mm-hmm. And my dad wasn't super affectionate either. My family's pretty British, so it's just, like, a lot of sarcasm, and, I don't know, it was just, like, that's kind of how my dad showed affection, so now I just, like, find myself making fun of everyone in my house.
And there's nothing wrong with that, though. I think that's a good trait to have. I really do.
Until I'm, like, trying to get the kids in the truck, and, like, the 3-year-old's like, no, you're a butthead. No, you're a butthead.
Yeah. It's like, oh, sorry. That's just like what we call each other in this house. My bad. Everybody has something. There's like majority of times I go visit my in-laws, which are like very close by. And like my son will say something and I'm like, shut up. Shut up, our grandmas. Like we can't say that at grandma's. Or he'll be like, mom, like that part in Dumb and Dumber. And I'm like, oh my God. I showed him Dumb and Dumber because like it's so his sense of humor and he would think it's really funny. Yes, there are a few parts that we skipped by, but like he loves Jim Carrey. I don't know what to do about it.
I can totally see him loving that.
Yeah. And I'm like, shit, I created a monster. I don't think we're supposed to show are we supposed to show our kids that? I feel like every movie we talk about, like, oh, should we show the kids? Like both me and my spouse are like, oh, we watch that at that age, whatever. And then it's like, shit, probably a parent fail, but
something they'll be talking to their therapist about 15 years.
Oh yeah, that'll be how I fuck up my kids for sure. But it's like, we've been watching, like, I've been like getting my husband to get me like old sitcoms, so like Roseanne and like Home Improvement and stuff, and I've been watching it and I'm like, I'm pretty sure these shows are why I am the way that I am. Like, they raised you into being a sarcastic idiot, right? It's like a sarcastic parent. That's how I do shit now. Same. I'm pretty sure it's because of those shows. I'm going to blame it on TV.
It's funny because I have a neighbor close by and our kids are kind of all around the same age. So every once in a while, we just kind of like meet on the deck and look at each other and like pretend to pull our hair out and go back in the house. It's just like community.
Oh, it is for sure. Community. Absolutely. There were a few things that, like, when I was looking up a lot about this topic, how they, you know, obviously it's like, it's just obvious things. So, like, plenty of evidence that spanking and other forms of violent corporal punishment have disastrous effects on kids' future psychological outcomes. It did talk about a lot how you can basically reverse that too. So a lot of it is probably therapy, but a lot of it is just like recognizing that. Like, I feel like, you know, there are things that happened to me as a kid too that I'll always remember, but I like don't let it define me, if that makes any sense. And I've never been one to like want to put my hands on my kids, so I feel like that was like easily nipped in the bud, you know?
Yeah, that's a big one for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
We're definitely seeing the effects of that on my stepdaughter since she's been home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to say, do you feel like there's any lashing out on that end of things?
I do feel like she searches for conflict. Like where there really doesn't need to be conflict.
It's what she's used to.
Yeah, and that is overwhelming. For me, for sure. Yeah, I don't know, just for like example, like she'll, like my youngest will be like, I had a blue apple yesterday, and she's like, no, you didn't. Like, obviously we know he didn't, but who cares? And yeah. She kind of just like will sit and like under her breath be like, no, you didn't, and like whisper it over and over and over again, so you can only hear like Nolan's side of the argument.
Mm-hmm. It's like last word type shit.
Yeah, and, like, she did it the other morning, and it was, like, Sunday morning, and I was making breakfast, and I had music on, and, like, they were doing a puzzle at the table, and I had, like, just taken a picture of them. They were being so cute. And then the arguing starts, and I was, like, just, like, those things we could just, like, really probably fucking avoid.
Yeah, you have all three children now. Your hands are going to be full. I feel like, hey, is she the oldest at her mom's house then? Sorry.
Out of all of her mom's kids, she is the second youngest.
Second youngest. Wow. Okay. So yeah, and maybe that's just a mimic of her relationships with those other children that she's kind of used to being around too, right? Like, who knows?
Yeah, I honestly have no idea kind of really what her mom's house was like. But, so what have you noticed personally as far as nature with your kids?
Oh man. Okay. So I think for sure we've touched base on it in earlier episodes. So, for anyone who's listening who maybe doesn't know the background of my family, so we do not share. Biologically, we don't share children together. So his daughter is from a previous relationship. My son is from a previous marriage. His biological dad is not in his life and hasn't been for a very long time. So my son doesn't even know or remember him. He knows about him, but he doesn't remember him in any way. We were high school sweethearts. We basically grew up together. Definitely didn't work out, but so there are a lot of things that I just think, yep, like I just know, like I like will look at my son and be like, how the hell does he know to say that or do that? Because that is literally what him and his family, like his biological dad's family, used to all do. Like they were big time, like dipping toast in tea, and like I've never told him about that. I don't do it. Nobody else does it in my family. He does it. As far as like likes and dislikes, like he is very much, so my ex-husband was very much like had to be like class clown all the time. And like, you know, when he'd tell a story, he'd always have to stand up. Everyone's sitting down in a living room and he'd stand up and like have to tell the story with like action and everything. And my son, same way. Just their sense of humor, their taste in fucking music is exact. Songs that I don't even really play that much, but maybe they'll come on the radio, like classic rock a lot. Like, he's like, I love that. I'm like, that's crazy, because that's exactly the same songs. Like, I remember the playlist, like, yeah, they were on there. And then dirt biking, they're like both really into it. But okay, I am too, so that was my suggestion. I don't think it was ever my son's suggestion, and then we just bought him one. But
he's a natural on it. I've seen him though.
He's a natural on it, and you know, his biological dad was the exact same way. And it's like, and you know, sometimes I kind of, you know, I guess we don't talk about him a whole lot. Like, if my son asks and brings him up, then we'll definitely talk about it. But I was kind of even just saying with my spouse, I'm like, that's crazy, and he's like, what? I'm like, that's like a lot like his biological dad. And he's like, I thought so. Like, it's actually crazy that, I mean, he was essentially only around them for the first year of his life, and that's it.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. That is crazy. Too.
And then with my bonus daughter, I feel like it's easy for us to say, like, and I think too, as blended families, like, especially with ones that don't get along very well, I think it's really easy for us to say, like, if it's something negative, we're like, oh, she gets that from her other parent, right? Like,
yeah,
it's so easy to cast that off when.
But in all fairness, even with like my bio kids, I still blame my husband.
Right? Like, it's just easy to do, right? But especially in the, like, you know, I've seen it done a lot where it's like, well, what the hell was that? And he's like, well, I mean, her mom does it. So like, what? And it's like, I don't care. Like, I don't care, you know, it has to be noted that it's not okay, so that it can, you know, like, how else are you supposed to change things? But I feel like as much as there's lots of things that are from her mom, there's definitely a lot of things that are from her dad. And I know for a fact, like, she's very sarcastic, and I'd like to
take full credit for that. Yeah, one.
I'm going to take full credit for that. I mean, both of us were both very sarcastic. My mother-in-law has told us, she's like, you're gonna really regret this one day. And I think she's more sarcastic. She takes the sarcasm from our house and takes it over to her mom's house, where they're not sarcastic at all, and their sense of humor is very different. Like, I don't think, like, we're just laughing all the time mostly. And she, like, my stepdaughter did say, like, yeah, my mom's like, God, you are so your dad. So I think there's just a lot of mixture for sure. But again, it's so hard for me to say, just because I don't feel like I know them very well. You know, I don't know her side of the family.
I do kind of remember growing up, like, both of my parents, actually, like, my dad typically didn't say like bad things about my mom, but every now and again, like, I remember rolling my eyes at him as a kid. He'd be like, oh, that is your mother's face.
Oh, and yeah.
Just like things like that. Or like one day I always drive with just my knee. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, stop doing that. You look like your dad.
Yeah.
So it was like random things like that, but they definitely made it known that it was annoying to them.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to keep doing that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Right? You should have been more careful who you had kids with.
Yeah. And so that's why I feel like nature probably is like more aggressive.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's some nurture in there too, for sure. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like as I get older, I notice more and more like how many factors there are for the nurture side.
Yeah. Yeah. Man.
And especially even now being a birth doula and looking into like the effects of the birth experience on like mom and baby and how it's all correlated. Like, I think it definitely ties into it too.
I feel like we should really do an episode where you grace us with your knowledge of all of that stuff because I love talking to you about it. And it makes so much sense to me. Like, I feel like, you know, people always told me, like, I didn't have the easiest pregnancy. And to be honest, I don't think anyone has, but it was very emotional for me. And I just remember my mom saying, like, you got to stop because it's like going to affect, you know, your unborn child. And it was just like, I mean, I can't, you know, and, but it's like, I should have dealt with it different. Maybe should have dealt with it instead of just being a basket case. But,
I relate to that a lot.
It definitely does make up for who your child can become too. Hey.
Yeah. And honestly, I was like my first pregnancy, I was pretty stressed out for. So anytime my oldest is like having a really anxious day or anything, like I'm crying to my husband at night, like, I should have been less anxious during my pregnancy. I did this to him. Like, mm-hmm. I definitely have guilt.
Yeah.
For those things.
But we
get to believe in all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, I don't know if I showed you when you came and stayed with us, but I have a book. It's called Freeing Your Child from Anxiety. I found it really helpful. I mean, you've probably done all the research and everything, but I feel like just saying homeschool has for sure helped with anxiety.
Yeah, I think it's only going to be good for him as well.
Yeah.
And the routine, he's really excited.
Good. Oh, yeah. I could go on about this all day, but I guess we should probably wrap it up. And we did discuss, like, prior to recording too, that it would be really great to have maybe a child psychologist or somebody come on and maybe give more of insight on their behalf and, you know, just give us some, I love to know why people tick, especially love to know why my fucking kids tick. So I think it'd be really beneficial to have somebody like that on.
Well, and it's just always interesting because I feel like as a blended family, it's really easy to feel like you're the only one going through certain things. Mm-hmm. And then often even when you and I have conversations, we realize that there's so many similarities.
Yeah.
So I can't help but wonder, like, what the differences are between nuclear and blended families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you get right down to it. There's so many more factors, I feel like, that, you know, they just, I mean, just wouldn't get. Like, there's so many of my bonus daughter's friends and their families, like, none of them are blended. And so nobody really gets what she's going through or, like, going back and forth kind of thing. So I think it's isolating for her too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually interesting. So I was at a postpartum shift today and my client it was her fifth baby. So I was just like hanging out, making muffins with the kids and doing all that. And their middle child was like asking me about our kids. And I told him how old my stepdaughter was. And my neighbor has a stepmom, but he's been gone all summer at his dad or his mom's house. So I haven't seen him. And he's just talking about how sad he is that he misses his friend. And
yeah,
like, that must happen a lot, actually, for kids that go back and forth and don't really get to see their friends for the summer.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially the ones like that travel like a great distance, you know, and are gone for like, yeah, the whole summer. It's like, holy shit, man. Yeah, I guess you have to like uproot quite a bit and just like disconnect from like that side of things in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
These poor kids, man.
Dude, I don't know what we're doing, but anyway, stay tuned. Hopefully we can do a two-parter to this because I feel like it could go on and on, you know.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely have to follow up on this one with some more blended info.
Absolutely. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Another Mother and being a part of our community. And just remember, no matter how unique your situation, you're not alone.
To be a part of the show, make an episode topic suggestion, or to share your story, please email info@anothermotherpodcast.ca and make sure to follow Another Mother Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you.